Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now for the bigger picture, and we start by taking a look at the United States, where the Nasdaq Composite clinched a new closing record yesterday, exceeding the peak from August the 6th, finishing up 1%. Not the only record, though.
Yep. Even though it looked like there could have been two, that's as the S&P 500, the broadest measure of Wall Street, ended just an inch below its February record.
Yeah, the thing about that, it's been hovering around those levels for the past week, but unable to break past the February record. So could it be a sign that gains may be harder to come by now? Let's get some analysis on market sentiment, including yesterday's announcement by Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat on those additional support measures. On the line, Stephen Ennis, Global Chief Market Strategist at AXIE Corp. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on today.
Always a pleasure, Stephen. So let's start with the reaction of the markets to the announcement by Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister Heng Swee Keat. So that came out about 3:30 local time, but we didn't seem to get much of a pop on the STI or anything like that. Will markets reflect any of this at the open this morning? Can we expect investors to have had a chance to really digest the numbers, the packages?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, more stimulus is generally received well by the markets, but we're really coming from a very low place here in Singapore. And most of the economy is really predicated around the services industry, and this continues to be one of the big struggles in the market structure, particularly in the retail sales side, and also one of the big servicing sectors in Singapore is travel. It just seems to be lacking, free travel among countries right now, and that presents a huge problem. Planes aren't flying, so people aren't going to Singapore. That presents, in my view, the biggest problem for recovery in Singapore right now. But they're not alone. I'm up here in Thailand, and we've got the same problem. So I think everybody that's in that travel basket is going to continue to struggle behind other countries that are reopening on different narratives. And this presents a problem going forward for Singapore, in my view.
Stephen, here's a piece I caught late last night. It's out of the U.S., the Trump administration announcing it'll further tighten restrictions on China's Huawei technologies. The aim is to crack down on its access to commercially available chips. So you've got more lingering U.S.-China tensions. How long more is this going to continue to have an impact on market sentiment? We are, 3 months or a little bit less than 3 months away from November elections?
It's interesting. U.S. administration has a more conciliatory tone towards trade, but these escalation drumbeats continue in the background, and this is a little bit of a concern. We saw that sort of weigh on regional sentiment yesterday. This is something that's not going to leave the landscape. I think we're building up on two narratives here. It looks like the U.S. markets don't really seem to care about it. They think it's more of an Asia risk, but that may be part and parcel right now to the fact that the global economy is not really firing in on globalization anymore. Seems right now that China's not so intricately in demand as far as exports because nobody's consuming. Everybody's still in some form of lockdown, and this is a bit of a problem. There's more internalization going on. Not to mention, I think Silicon Valley's up for the challenge also. So they're looking their chops right now at trying to take over again in a lot of these areas. So it's interesting how this is going to develop. I'm really hoping cooler heads prevail. Looking at the polls right now, it looks like Biden still holds the lead, although that lead is trimming. The expectation here is there would be a walk back in a lot of these hostilities towards China. Perhaps the market's looking through that to a more favorable U.S.-China relationship with a different person in the White House next year.
Well, more on that U.S.-China dynamic in just a sec. Just a reminder to anyone tuning in, Stephen Innes is speaking to us. He's Global Chief Market Strategist at AXIE Corp. So let's talk about this postponement of the review of the Phase 1 trade deal between the U.S. and China. We got initial reports of it over the weekend, early in the weekend, in fact. But what's the real reality behind the delay?
There's a lot of conjectures. I'm thinking that China's made some commitments to increase both oil and agricultural products, their imports of both oil and agricultural products from the U.S. Last week. I think the U.S. may want to see that happen. this month. It's very easy for them to sort of just, you know, fill up the tankers and send it over. So they want to see if that's active. According to boots on the ground, oil traders in the U.S. and importers in China, that's actually happening. So that's quite favorable. I think currently the market's willing to look past that. There's also probably some politics involved where they may want to hold back, you know, signing a, or reaffirming the U.S.-China trade deal until the Republican convention that happens later, towards the end of the month. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the background right now. But the stance right now, it's not really a major running narrative, and the market's always wall of worry, so to speak, right now.
Stephen, let's talk a little bit about Berkshire Hathaway's Warren Buffett and his stance on gold. Strangely, this year, at the end of last week, Berkshire Hathaway bought a new stake in one of the world's most valuable gold mining firms. That's Barrick Gold. Yesterday, shares of Barrick soared nearly 12% on the news. What's your take on this?
Well, it made a lot of Canadians like myself very happy that own Barrick, and we've always been owning Barrick for years, and I'm very happy about that, to get that endorsement. I think there's two things here. Obviously, the rise in gold prices is, you know, making gold companies and gold miners more attractive, but I think under the hood here, the stock itself, there's been a significant decrease in outstanding debt in the company. They're going to be paying some significant dividends over the next little while, and there's even talk in the background about more buybacks happening. So this is pretty much fitting into the Berkshire longer-term narrative, where they're buying into solid companies. You know, it's not really a sign of anti-U.S. It's just smart, prudent investing, right? It's just looking for a bigger yield, and this looks to be the more favorable train of thought here, while the global markets in itself are looking for alternatives to divest away from possibility of a weaker U.S. dollar. Look, they've had a great run in U.S. assets. We're at, you know, all-time record highs in the middle of a pandemic. How bad can things really be? Maybe it's time to take some profit here, and Berkshire Hathaway is definitely doing that right now, taking some profit on those frothy U.S. assets.
Well, that might be something some investors are thinking about ahead of latest FOMC minutes, which are due tomorrow. What are you expecting to be the main focus of conversations at the Fed?
Yeah, it's interesting. We're trying to form, you know, both sides of the equation, of course. Totally expect the minutes not to rock the boat. They should reveal a dovish narrative, possibly highlighting yield curve control and average inflation targeting. And even this thought is starting to show signs of soothing the rates that sold off last week. We had yields bumping higher last week, and they're starting to come down a bit, which is giving the overall atmosphere a little bit more friendly atmosphere. But I think a lot of this is already priced into the equation. And so if the markets start to reassess things, probably not really going to change the median path that meaningfully behind Fed policy. So perhaps those expecting more of a typical, you know, type of a bazooka policy read on the FOMC minutes might be a tad disappointed. So my risk here is on the disappointing side, not necessarily the fact that it's still very, very solid forward moving stimulus. Perhaps some of the bulls are getting a little bit too overexcited about that policy bazooka anticipated coming in September.
We've been speaking with Stephen Innes, Global Chief Market Strategist at Axie Corp. Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks for having me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.